service this morning by the reading is recorded in Luke chapter 2. It's a story we know. It's a story we love. It's a story that we search, especially at this time, for meaning, for enlightenment, for inspiration. We look to the story of Christmas as revealed to us by God's grace through the words of the Bible. This morning I want us to come to the story again, but I want us to do it in maybe just a little bit different way than you've done it before. Last week we talked about the characters of the Christmas story, the fascinating characters of the Christmas story. And I want us today to imagine ourselves in that story. And that may be quite a stretch for us, but let's just try to do it. Imagine your face. And I was working with the nativity scene again this week. Imagine your face on one of these characters, maybe more than one of these characters today. Let's imagine ourselves at the Christmas story. Or another way to put it is this. As you think of the characters of Christmas, as we found in Luke chapter 2, as Roger read for us earlier, with whom would you relate? Who would be you? For example, if you were there at the Christmas story, now this guy is not actually in the nativity scene, would you be Caesar Augustus? Now none of us wants to be Caesar Augustus, right? I don't want to be Caesar Augustus. You don't want to be Caesar Augustus. You remember that Caesar was the ruler of the known world, the Roman Empire. He was the son, the adopted son and heir of the great Caesar, Julius Caesar. And he had all power. He was certainly on the top of the world in his stage and time from a worldly point of view. And of course what the Christmas story is wrapped around is the census that Caesar calls for. Now what's a census about? A census basically had three purposes. The purpose of a census, first of all, mainly was to count heads for taxation purposes. So it was about raising money. A census was also about raising a military. They went out looking for young men who would be available to serve in the military. And then ultimately, a census was a way for the Roman Empire to say, we're the bosses around here. Just to remind everybody of their great empire, including in the land of Palestine, where Jesus and Mary and Joseph and others are, that they were in control. Now let's think about this for a moment. The greatest event in all of history is about to happen in Caesar's realm. We might say that it was sort of happening under his nose, because through his governors and his other leaders, he knew what was going on in his great realm, I'm sure. The greatest event in history was about to happen under his nose, and Caesar clearly missed it. He missed it. We talked a bit about this last week, about those who were there, and yet they missed it. Why did he miss it? Well, clearly he was distracted, and he was consumed. He was distracted and consumed by his concerns about raising money, about maintaining his power and his authority. So how could we be Caesar Augustus in the story? What might be distracting you today? What might be consuming you? It may not be the problems that Caesar had, but we all have things that come into our lives and in our world that consume us, that distract us, that cause us to fail to see God in our midst. Is that you this Christmas season? Are there things that are consuming you, things that are distracting you, so that you're failing to see God is here? You know, we love the story that the children brought to us. As children, it just kind of brings us back to the heart of it, doesn't it? We want to see the heart of Christmas. We want to see the truth of Christmas. We need to see Jesus Christ. We need to understand God's Son. We need to see that God loves us and God intervenes in our life. But we can get distracted, can't we? We can get consumed and miss it. The Advent season, we said, is meant to be a time of preparation. A time when we're sure that we've got our mind and our spirit in a place that we can receive fully the wonderful truth of Christmas. What's distracting you? What's consuming you today? In the bulletin, you'll see a link to a website, and actually it's outlined there as well. 21 ways to keep Christ in Christmas. I just came upon that this week. It's very simple. It's very basic. But it's just a way of saying, stay focused. Stay focused. Beware of what might be distracting you, what might be consuming you. Don't miss it. I don't want to miss the celebration of the greatest gift ever given, the gift of God's Son, our Savior, our eternal hope. So maybe this Christmas, you're Caesar Augustus. You're distracted. You're consumed. Or maybe this Christmas, you're Joseph. Now, that would be a little better, wouldn't it? I'd be okay being Joseph, I guess. Maybe you're Joseph. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you think that Joseph had more than a little stress in his life at this time? You know, when we come around the nativity scene, we'll do it on Christmas Eve. We sing Silent Night. You know, it's a peaceful setting. But what about Joseph? Do you think he had a little stress? He's been asked to take in to connect himself to his fiancée, who is pregnant under questionable circumstances, right? And in the midst of that, an angel comes to him, challenges him to be faithful. And then in the midst of that, he has to pick up his pregnant wife and move or travel to the little town of Bethlehem, his hometown. Now, we all know what happens when he gets to Bethlehem, right? You know, we often read the Christmas story through our Western understanding, and sometimes we miss the power of it. Generally, when we think of the Christmas story, we think of Joseph and Mary arriving in Bethlehem, and they go to an inn. And if you've seen some of the movies and cartoons, a sort of a disheveled, drunken innkeeper comes to the door and says, "Sorry, no room." But that may not actually be exactly what happened. It's possible that the picture's a little different. Because the word that we sometimes translate as inn, I-N-N, inn in the Bible, could actually be translated probably more faithfully as guest room or guest house. So the picture is more broad than Joseph and Mary simply being turned around away by a very mean, curt, and drunken innkeeper. Remember where Joseph is going to. He's going home. Have you ever thought he went home and no doors were open to him? If I was to go home for Christmas, I would have to go to Hartland, New Brunswick. And I know that if I went to Hartland, there'd be many doors open to me, right? If you went home for Christmas, if your home isn't here, I hope that you would find open doors. They went home for Christmas, so to speak, and all the doors were shut. Maybe they were ashamed of it. Maybe they didn't want to have anything to do with Joseph in this questionable situation with his fiancée. Do you think Joseph had a little stress in his life? And then we know that a couple of years later, on top of all of that, he has to gather them up all again and head into a foreign land, into Egypt, running from powers that be in his day. Joseph had stress. But the thing that we love about Joseph is this, that in the midst of his stress, he was steadfast, right? In the midst of his stress, Joseph just kept doing the right thing, right? He just kept doing the right thing. I wonder if that would describe you today. You're carrying burdens, you're carrying stress, but you're the one in your family, you're the one in your circle who just keeps doing the right thing. You're dependable, but you're carrying a burden. You're dependable, but you're carrying a burden. You know, the problem with people like that is sometimes we find it really hard to give our burden to anybody else. We feel like that's our lot in life. Do you think maybe Joseph was like that? My lot in life is just to carry this burden, bear it out as best as I can, and be faithful. But you know, the Bible says that we can bring our burdens and give them to God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are laboring are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Sometimes we find it hard to do that. This Christmas, let's do that. The stress the burden that you're bearing, give it to God. Give it to God. And allow Him to carry it for you. Maybe you're Joseph this Christmas, stressed, steadfast, but stressed. Or maybe this Christmas you would be one of the shepherds. One of the shepherds. The key role of the story of the shepherds in Christmas always shocks and surprises us, doesn't it? We would imagine that the first to see the Messiah, the first to announce the visitation of God through His Son Jesus, should have at least been those three kings from ancient times, right? The shepherds. The shepherds were understood to be humble, lowly men. Men who were often social outcasts. Those who would probably not consider themselves worthy of a visitation from God. Is that you? Do you feel like maybe you're not worthy? Why would God come to me? Why would God speak to me? Why would God call me? Why would God use me? He can do that with others, but not with me. I'm not worthy. Sometimes we struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with those feelings of guilt and inadequacy, especially when we talk about a holy God, and we feel unworthy. We need to understand this morning that we are worthy. We are worthy precisely because of Christmas. And what I mean by that is this. Jesus Christ was born. He became one of us, God in the flesh. He became one of us to live the life that we can't live. And to die the death that we should have died. And to do all of that on our behalf. And then credit it to us by faith. That's the gospel story, isn't it? The gospel truth. In Christ, you are worthy. In Christ, you are worthy of hearing and receiving God's word. You are worthy of being filled with His Holy Spirit. You are worthy of responding to His call. You are worthy of Him using you to change the world like He used the shepherds. So maybe this Christmas, you're a shepherd. You look around and you think it's great how God is talking to everybody else, but God would never come to me. God would never call me. God would never use me. Maybe you can relate to the shepherds. Now this Christmas, we all want to be married, don't we? I don't mean pregnant. We all want to be married. We can't be nearly as cute as our Mary here, or at least I can't be as cute as that. But we all want to be Mary. What do I mean by Mary? Well, you know Mary well, I'm sure. If we go down into Luke chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, the angel said to Mary, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary was greatly troubled. Why was she troubled? We talked last week about the supernatural visitation of angels. She was troubled, I'm sure, just by the fact that suddenly there's an angel in her room, right? That would trouble me. That would trouble me because people feared. They fell in fear before this angel. They understood it was a messenger from God. So she's troubled about that in itself. But of course, we also know that Mary was troubled about the message that was to come to her. She was troubled when she realized and understood that God was calling her to a great task. To high calling. And she understood this. She understood that when God calls us, He calls us to great joy, but He sometimes calls us to great challenges. That He sometimes calls us to great trials. Especially as we seek to live out the calling of the kingdom of heaven while we still live in the kingdom of mankind, the kingdom of this world. So with the calling comes great joy. But with the calling comes great challenges. Did Mary have challenges? To say the very least, right? She had to admit she was pregnant to her fiancé. She had to admit that to her community, her family. And then you know that, well, let me just go on and read another portion of it from verses 31 to 33. The angel said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Don't you think it was enough just to ask Mary to give birth? But now he's saying, oh, and by the way, he's going to be the David. He's going to be the King of Kings. Wow. Pretty tough. Mary understood. This calling is a great privilege, but it's also a calling to challenges and trials, hardships at times. Twice in the Christmas story, we see Mary pondering. In chapter 1 and verse 29, and again in chapter 2 and verse 19, Mary pondered the message and the events of Christmas. I wonder, what does that word ponder mean? And I found that in the Greek, it's the word that suggests an inner dialogue. It's actually, in the Greek, the word from which we get the term dialogue. So the idea is that Mary is wrestling. She's wrestling within herself. She's talking to herself. How can this be? Mary was wrestling, but Mary was willing. Is that you at Christmas? You might be wrestling. You may be wrestling with your faith. You may be wrestling with emotions, with problems, with trials, with issues in your own life or in the lives of those around you. But are you, like Mary, willing? Willing to receive God's message? Willing to receive God's call? Willing to be found faithful in doing the work that God has called you to do? To live out the life that brings Him glory? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to follow Him wherever He should lead you? Though you wrestle, you're willing. Are you Mary this Christmas? And then there's some other characters. They're not mentioned in Luke 2. You actually have to go to Matthew 2. But it's those intriguing guys called the wise men or the magi. Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." I've always been fascinated by the wise men. Fascinated because we know almost nothing about them. We don't really know. We make some educated guesses about maybe where they came from and how long they've been looking and who exactly they were. We really don't know much about them. But we know the most important thing about them. We know their heart. And we know that they desired to worship Jesus. They desired to worship the Messiah. They were looking for Him. Now we can surmise that the wise men were often confused in their search. They were asking questions. We can guess that probably this search has been going on for a long time, and very likely they've gone down a number of wrong roads, dead-end roads, trying to find their way to Bethlehem. But what we love about the wise men is they didn't give up. I often see it at Christmas time, that statement, wise men, and I'll put in there wise women, still seek Him. This Christmas, are you still seeking Jesus? Are you still seeking Him? You know, it's really why we're here, isn't it, this morning? Because we're still looking for Him. We still want to know Him. We want to understand Him. We want to experience Him. We want to meet Him in real and powerful ways. We're still seeking for Jesus. Don't stop seeking for Him. Way back in the Old Testament, under the prophet Jeremiah, we see the people of Israel, God's people of that day, who felt that they had lost their God. They had lost their faith. And God says this to them, "Then you will call on Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your hearts." Are you Caesar Augustus today? Distracted and consumed? Are you Joseph? Stressed but steadfast? Are you the shepherds? Humble but obedient? Are you Mary? Wrestling but willing? Let's all be the wise men for sure, right? Let's keep seeking. Keep seeking. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You'll go down some dead end roads. You'll come to some incorrect conclusions. You'll stumble from time to time. But like the wise men, let's keep looking. So that we can, like them, fall in worship before Him and give our hearts and our lives to Him. Let's pray. Father, we're reminded that in a very real way, we were there on that first Christmas. We were one of these individuals, or maybe all of them in some ways. Help us, Lord, as we reflect upon and meditate on the Christmas story this Christmas, this Advent season, to see who we are and who You are. And Lord, to bow down before You, to surrender our lives to You, and to walk forward with confidence in Your grace. Help us, Lord, to seek You, because You've said when we seek You, we will find You by Your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.